driverless car technology has been here for quite some time and has often been met with either a very neutral response or large mistrust from drivers. But apparently these cars have health and safety benefits that most are unaware of, and I'm also unaware of. So to figure out what they may be and what's going on with them, we are joined now by Professor Simone Pettigrew from Curtin University, who's co-authored a research paper on this very topic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
So how long have driverless cars been around, and are they available in Australia at the moment?
That's a very good question. So they've kind of been in development phase for quite some time. It'd be difficult to put a specific number of years on that. But yes, they are here. I mean, I've driven myself in a Tesla where it was in autonomous mode and able to drive itself around without intervention by a driver. So they're definitely here. They're certainly not in wide-scale use, though, because our road regulations don't permit that. There's currently more than 100 road rules that have got the word driver in them. So until they're repealed or modified, we can't actually have them running around the streets on their own. But on private property, they can, like the Tesla that I was in. And also here at Curtin University, we have our own autonomous bus that shunts its way around campus, ferrying students and staff to classes and to the car park. So yes, they exist. They're here. Psychologically, we haven't quite caught up with the idea yet, though, as you were just saying.
Well, I mean, the ongoing concern, of course, is that the idea of a car making decisions rather than a human behind the wheel is intrinsically pretty scary. Can you explain why, how these cars work and why we shouldn't be afraid of them?
Well, if you think about the way we teach people to drive when they get a license, we specify a whole set of road rules and we expect them to comply with that. So when we get a vehicle to operate autonomously, it's not like we're kind of starting from scratch to figure out how to tell them to operate. We have existing road rules that they abide by. And they use very complex algorithms that are much more sophisticated than the human brain. And as long as we have good humans doing the programming, then these machines can learn very quickly. So if you think about the number of car accidents that happen in the real world, we've got lots of humans making the same mistakes over and over again. With computers, we can sort of program those errors out. Every now and then, they will run into a new scenario that they haven't been programmed to deal with, but hopefully that's a once-off, and once that occurs, we can fix that pretty much forever.
And presumably, they'd approach those situations with caution. Or,
yeah
they wouldn't like just, you know, say, oh, launch straight ahead.
That's true. And the other thing to consider is because autonomous vehicles ultimately we'll be able to speak to each other. Mm-hmm. They'll be connected autonomous vehicles. They'll kind of know where each other are and they'll have a much better idea of what's happening globally. So they'll be able to potter along. We won't even need traffic lights because they'll just merge at intersections very safely, like down to the millimeter. They'll know where the other cars are positioned. So in that kind of environment, it's not stop and start. You haven't got traffic lights everywhere. So the projections are the vehicles will actually operate at a slower overall pace, but they won't be stopping and starting. So you'll probably get to your destination sooner or around the same time, but the vehicle will be operating more slowly, which makes it safer for everybody.
Now, Simone, you've already hinted at some of this, but what are the health and safety benefits, supposedly, of driverless cars?
Oh, they're huge. And I think a lot of them are things that we may not have thought about in our everyday lives. So the obvious one is crash reduction, of course. So around 93% of car accidents at the moment are attributed to human error. So it's anticipated that virtually all of those crashes will be eradicated once these vehicles are operating as well as they can. We've also got emission reduction. Most of these vehicles will be electric, and that means that they'll have fewer emissions. But also, because there's less stop-start, as we were just saying, then that's also fewer emissions going into the environment. Hopefully, we'll also pretty much eradicate road rage. So driving can be very stressful for people. The other thing people might not have thought about is that for those of us who would really like, say, to cycle to and from work or to other destinations, we often feel unsafe to do so because of traffic considerations.
Yes.
When vehicles are able to monitor cyclists, you know, 360 degrees and permanently, vehicles aren't distracted, they're able to keep their attention to that cyclist as well as everything else in the environment, cyclists and pedestrians will be much safer. So more of us hopefully will use active transport to get around, which would be terrific. But one of the really big boons, of course, is for the disabled and the elderly who can't hold a license, who will actually be able to be completely independent for the first time with their transport.
It would seem that with driverless cars, the way it would work would be if every car was driverless, it would work better. And also, the question then would be, is there sort of an access cost to this technology in terms of expense?
Now, that's a really good point, because if you think about how much a Tesla costs at the moment, they're very, very expensive. But the grand plan really is that we all move towards shared vehicle ownership anyway. So you wouldn't have your own vehicle in your own driveway. You'd be freeing up the land. Around a quarter of CBD area is allocated to parking. So we could pretty much eradicate that if we're all prepared to migrate towards shared autonomous vehicles. And the work we've been doing indicates that big chunks of the population are actually really receptive to that idea, because the overall cost per person would be much lower. So your transport costs would drop dramatically if we're prepared to share, and if those vehicles are autonomous, so we're not paying driver costs.
Mm-hmm. And well, how would this impact the public transport industry as well, in sort of, you know, in terms of as also like taxis and Ubers?
Yeah, so Uber is one of the biggest investors in autonomous technology because they see that this is the way things are going. Public transport's a really interesting issue. Of course, we've had autonomous trains in some countries for decades. The New York Underground and the Singapore train system have both been autonomous for a long, long time. We tend to accept that because we get on and off a train without seeing the driver, so it doesn't really matter to us if the driver's not sitting there. But as I said at Curtin here, we have our autonomous bus. So autonomous other forms of public transport are very feasible and will be happening in the not-too-distant future as well. So, for instance, tram systems can be done autonomously too. So we shouldn't see autonomous cars as overtaking from public transport. We should see it as all one big automated network.
Now, Simone, technology, of course, accelerates and moves very quickly. And, you know, we go from talking about driverless cars to, you know, testing them and so forth. How long do you think it is roughly till we might start seeing these becoming sort of more commonplace?
Well, they're saying by 2022, we should be seeing them emerging on our roads. But by about 2040, the forecast is that around 3/4 of vehicles would be automated.
So quite a large number.
Yeah. And you were mentioning before about, you know, we get our best benefits if they're all automated, and that's true. But even a small number of automated vehicles amongst human-driven vehicles can really help to smooth out traffic flows. Because you know what happens, you know, the person in front of you taps on the brakes, or you tap on the brakes and you get this kind of knock-on effect. Autonomous vehicles have their sensors pinging off the road in front of them, so they can see what's happening several cars off forwards that we as humans can't see. So they know what's happening, so they don't react like that. They are a much better vehicle on the road in terms of just keeping a smooth traffic flow. And they've done experiments showing that even just 1 in 20 vehicles automated has substantial effects on traffic flows.
Well, it's very interesting. Thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about it.
Pleasure.
Absolutely.